right? So we can still win, but we have to leave now, right? So come on.
Dad, it's been a living hell.
Ev, it's $2 million. It's a lifetime supply of hummus.
It is another full-on post-game edition of You Play to Win the Rose Bachelor podcast from the lens of competition. And, well, judging by what we've done over the last several weeks on this podcast, it could be a whole lot of other lenses as well. He's Andrew Carter. I'm Ben Heisler. Glad that you guys are with us as we are reacting immediately following episode 7 of this season of The Bachelor. A lot went down. We returned from overseas, Andrew, in Denver. We thought this might be a week where things settled down a little bit, and sure enough, even more drama started to break through.
It's just crazy. We really were so wrong about what was around the corner, and I think we both thought that everything they were teasing to was going to be a few episodes down the line, and we were just magically hoping that this was the episode where, you know, relationships would progress and we would see more and there would be less drama, and boy, were we so wrong about that. But we're in the final four now. I'm stress eating. I'm eating Wheat Thins and hummus because it's that time in the playoffs where things are on the line and you're just every step of the way, you're kind of on the edge of your seat and you don't know what else to do but just eat. So that's where I am right now. And I'm excited about the future, but man, a lot of drama went down once again.
I'm going to create a Twitter poll at Benny Heiss. Is it considered stress eating if you're only eating Wheat Thins and hummus? And I'm curious to know next week when we update the poll what the results will be. Like, stress eating, man, come on. It's Girl Scout cookie season. Like, an entire box of one of those. Like, some people just go for the entire sleeve, not just a couple cookies or two. I heard a story about somebody eating an entire box of Cheez-Its. Like, that's stress eating. And, like, how do you even eat an entire box of cheese that's just because of the amount of salt and sodium that's in there? Like, that's stress eating. Like, you're healthy eating. Like, that's not stress eating. I vehemently disagree with this philosophy.
No, it's totally stress eating because I went in the pantry and I was like, what can I get that I don't have to actually cook and is the easiest to grab? And it was Wheat Thins and hummus.
That's fair. I was, by the way, don't ever work on your computer after eating and unpeeling a clementine orange. Because that thing will stay on your computer for weeks.
Yeah, that smell stays around for a long time. Have you ever peeled one of those things without ever breaking the peel? Like, one perfect peel?
No. I didn't know that.
It's called a perfect game in the orange peeling world. If you can start by cracking it and then slowly peeling it to have one perfect peel. Yeah, it's a perfect game.
Right, but then afterwards when you have this perfectly kept orange peel, like, what do you do with it? Like, it's like you don't just put it off to the side and say, like, hey, like, it's not a decoration piece. Is that just something for you to be able to say?
It should be something you at least Snapchat and Instagram to all your friends to say that I did this and at least let that moment live on for a little bit.
And I'm sure that all those people continue to follow you on Snapchat and Instagram the moment you sent them a perfectly kept orange peel.
It's like those people that would try to put Starburst in their mouths and, like, unwrap them with their tongue. Like, it's really hard to do but impressive. And I just say, next time you have a clementine or a cutie out there, try it. It's almost impossible, but props if you can do it, and please send us the evidence.
There you go. We're available, by the way, for you to send us that evidence. He is at Andrew _Carter. I am at Benny Heiss on the Twitter machine. We're also on Instagram as well. So let's get right into this episode, because you and I both have a few takeaways from this. One of which for you was somebody that I initially had higher hopes for. She was in my Final Four. Oh, I'm sorry. We need to get to the fact that we're in the Final Four, and our Final Four picks, we can now finally see if we got them right. So let's start with you. Final Four picks included Cassie. Nicely done. It got a little bit dicey towards the end with that final two-on-one between her and Kirpa. Not a technical two-on-one, but they were the final two left at the end of the episode. So she stuck around. So congrats on that pick. You also had Erica, Bree, and Tracy. I can't knock you for the Erica pick because I also had her, but you know, now that you look back on the overall prediction for the season and it's playoff time, how would you assess where you came to at this point?
I'm not very proud of myself. I think next time we do this, I'll do a little more due diligence and some research on my end, but I don't hate the picks and why I had them. It's just sad that looking back that Bree literally got... Yeah, like, but Bree got zero airtime, and Who was the other one that I missed?
You missed on Bree, Erica, and Tracy.
Okay, Tracy. Couldn't even remember her name. So, like, that was a bad pick. That was strictly because I thought she looked like Tia Booth. Correct. And I was going with something creative. But, you know, ultimately, Cassie was there. My biggest regret is not looking over Hannah G and realizing that's, like, the prototypical blonde that goes far and not knowing that that's the person my wife was watching on Instagram every night. Then I definitely would have.
Right. That's perfectly fair. And, again, we referenced the Roger Sherman article last night from The Ringer talking about how I think 86% of the remaining contestants going into this week were blonde. And now it's down to 75%, I believe.
You did great. You had two of
four,
man.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 50% because Kaylin isn't a blonde. But, yeah, I had Hannah B., and that came close. She certainly – we'll get to her in a little bit. If you talk about a character arc over the course of a reality show, I think she stepped up quite a bit from where she was at the beginning. I also had Cassie. And then for whatever reason, you and I were both big on Erica. And I think she was like, she was the McNutt one, right? And it just didn't happen.
Maybe she was the Hannah G we were going for and we just overlooked Hannah G.
We got the wrong Hannah G.
Yeah.
Who knew? We screwed that one up. We were looking for Ollie G and got messed up with Hannah G instead. And then I also had Tayshia. So Cassie and Tayshia. So I got two out of the four.
I looked at
Tayshia as a dark horse pick with upset potential. And sure enough, here she is coming down the stretch, ruffling a little bit of feathers. I wonder for how much longer she'll stick around. All that coming up as we continue on through the show. So those are a look at our final four picks. I still have a slight lead over Andrew. And I guess assuming that
you win. You know, I mean, because no matter what, we're going to lose Cassie at the same time.
Right, exactly.
I guess we tie if Tayshia goes home next, but you still had her in the final four. So props to you. You got two of four. That's pretty good.
I will certainly take it. So let's get into our biggest takeaways from episode number 7. And we talked briefly about Hannah B. and how we went in a lot of different directions with her. I thought she was somebody that had a chance to win the whole damn thing. And she came close, but she went from being somebody who was very frustrating, somebody that we were concerned had some severe anxiety that she probably needed to deal with, to kind of figuring her shit out and getting to a place where she was open and vulnerable. Man, she did everything right.
Yeah, she really grew on me. I think that's what I wanted to touch on here is, like, I wouldn't say I was hard on her. I never thought that anything was, like, wrong with her. I think we both touched on the fact that she might have anxiety issues and maybe was a little too insecure at the very beginning to go through this process. And for that reason, we were kind of like, well, why would Colton string someone like that along? Not necessarily because she's doing anything wrong, but just for the better of herself. But part of that might have been just what we saw, and maybe we didn't really see the whole her and who she was, because by the end of it, when we got more glimpses, when we saw her personality more and more, I really started to like Hannah B. Like, I really think she's the type of woman that any guy would want to be with. And I say that because I think she's authentic. I think she wears her emotions on her sleeve, which earlier in the season, we didn't know much about her. We thought that was kind of weird in the way she acted. But we really saw over time that she is genuine. She expects the best. And maybe to her only fault is she wants to be the best all the time. So she puts a lot of pressure on herself. But I thought the way she handled it when she left and all the things she said were great. And she really did grow on me. And for that was a big takeaway for me, is that I like Hannah B. And I'd love to have her on the show and really kind of ask her some questions about her journey along the way.
I think you're spot on when it comes to Hannah B. I think the importance of actually getting to see some authenticity there helped a lot. It was weird to sort of see this dynamic early on. Like, we gave her a bunch of shit for the fact that she couldn't come up with anything original for that toast. Remember, she was the first one-on-one date, and it left us all feeling really awkward and uncomfortable. And I think once she and Kaylin sort of had their, you know, got everything straightened out, she seemed to just be calmer about everything. Like,
yeah,
that
maybe
was, it was like hanging over her head a little bit. And then after that, she just kind of focused on her relationship with Colton, and she didn't worry about any of the other girls in the house getting to her. And it was just, she became entertaining and authentically entertaining. So I'm with you. Like, we went from being like, I don't know if we want her on the show, to, yeah, no, Hannah, we were wrong about you. We made a mistake.
Yeah, no, I think you're completely right. And she probably just relaxed once maybe the beef was really getting to her, and she couldn't be herself because of that. And once they talked it out, it got a lot better. And yeah, she she had a great showing towards the end, and you know, didn't make it to the final four, but we do have an interesting group, and I know we have a girl there that you were pretty certain was maybe going to be the villain, and it turns out that it might be that way, even though I have some thoughts on this.
Yeah, I said last week as one of the prop bets that I was going to set the favorite at Tayshia to become the villain at minus 250. So for those of you unfamiliar with betting terms, that would mean that you'd have to put down $250 to win 100. She was the clear-cut favorite. And whether it had to do with that sort of one snide comment that she had with Kirpa off to the side where they were mentioning that they could see themselves being the final two at the end, to how the producer set up the preview for next week, I think we could infer that something was about to go down with Tayshia, and sure enough, it did. I think absolutely in this situation that became villainous type of characteristic. She was the one that threw Kaylin and Cassie under the bus. It was because of her. Now, was she asked the question? Yes, and she answered how she felt, to be honest. And there's something that we can sort of go over into this, because I don't think anybody lied here. But I do think that the way it was set up caused Tayshia to take on the villainous character.
Yeah, that's where I struggle with it, because she didn't come out and just say it. I mean, he literally asked her, and I was talking about this with Lindsay.
Yeah, he was led on. He was led on.
He was led on, but also, or she was, but I think he took her out on that first 1-1, because remember, we talked about the next person going to 1-1 will be the first person to get a repeat date, which is a big deal. And Tayshia was that person. Now, I think part of that is because he trusted her. So he knew he was going to have to ask that question, and he felt like she would be a person that gave an honest answer because he thinks she's there for the right reasons. It's the only it only makes sense that way. So for her to be a villain, to throw these people under the bus, yes. I don't know what else she's supposed to say, though, because if she's like going to be diplomatic about it and say, you know, there might be some people there, yes, but I don't want to say because they're my friends or whatever, then all of a sudden he might be thinking, well, maybe it's her because she can't point to anyone. So it's a tough situation to be in.
That's totally fair. I will say this, though, that you can still be the villain and be a truth teller. Like, I think when I look at all this and I look at the Tayshia situation and Kaylin and Cassie, I think when you're in a house in this type of environment, and you because you have nothing else to react to but each other and other people's relationships, that at some point something's going to be taken out of context or misinterpreted. And because all you're doing is stewing in this house, thinking about what is or what isn't a part of your relationship, to me it just made all the sense in the world that she might have just taken something, seen something, talked it over with Kirpa, who clearly was one of her confidants in the house, and just ran with it. So I think that nobody was lying here, even though a lot of the girls would argue that that wasn't the case.
I have this strange feeling that there's something to the Cassie thing, because I think the Kaylin.
Okay.
And here's why. I think the Kaylin thing, she might have just kind of been involved with whatever everyone's pointing to with Cassie, or maybe it's her friend, so she kind of was there for her, and that's how she kind of got into this. Maybe she didn't fully. I don't know. It just seems like maybe Kaylin was guilty by association. But I say that because all signs point to something being wrong with Cassie, and I can't put a finger on it, but here's why. Multiple girls are saying it. The way Kirpa said, look, I'm not lying. Katie said something, and she wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true, and just the conviction there, and the way they're explaining it, and I was really judging Cassie's body language, and her tears and her sadness almost felt like she wasn't quite sure what was going on in her own head. It feels like emotionally she was getting thrown in a lot of different directions. And my theory is, I think there's some truth. She might not be ready, but I think she's trying to push herself to be ready. But in the end, she might not be ready. So she's kind of crying because she's like, these girls are kind of telling the truth, but I'm battling this. I don't want it to be true. And I just think there's a lot of emotions going on. So something is telling me that I think Cassie does like Colton, yes. But I do think she's struggling with this, and do I think she would love being the Bachelorette, and maybe she said that at some point? Probably.
That's kind of what I think it came down to. I would imagine that as they're sitting around in the house, that there would have been this topic of, hey, so if it doesn't work out, do you see yourself like being a part of the Bachelor show, or do you see like potentially going to Paradise, or if they asked you, would you be the next Bachelor? Like, just a very hypothetical situation. Like, we've done that. We've had these hypothetical talks, not necessarily like, would you be the Bachelor? But just in life, we talk about these things with our friends. If X and Y happened, would you take it or would you try and do Z? I would imagine that a lot of these women would have said, yeah, of course, I would want to try and find love, or I would try and... But knowing that it could then be spun out, and they would probably thought it was just innocent conversation, but then something pops into your head, and it stays with you. Oh, I remember that Cassie mentioned that she did want to be the bachelorette. You don't really remember the context of the situation.
But isn't it weird that Hannah B. left saying the same thing? So the fourth person now, she said, listen to the girls and what they're saying. Like, this feels a little more serious than some basic conversation about hypotheticals.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because that was absolutely something that I noticed too about Hannah B. on the way out. Like, all throughout the show, the concept of Hannah B. versus Kaylin, and Kaylin versus Hannah B., and the two Miss America contestants going head to head. And while this final battle, Kaylin won between the two, even though they really weren't battling each other, Hannah B. got in one final shot, and you know that that's something that he paid attention to.
Totally. That's a good point. I mean, she really wanted to get that in. So maybe for her, she's talking about Kaylin. I don't know. The whole thing is just strange to me. I believe Tayshia, I'd really look at Tayshia as someone who seems very mature and comfortable in her own skin.
Yeah.
And not really someone who would be a villain willingly, but is okay with being a villain if she has to do it because she believes in who she is. So we're in a weird situation now where we're down to the final four. There's just this weird sense that, like, I pretty much think Hannah G is going to win, but how everything else goes down, I have no idea.
By the way, you mentioned Hannah B. Were you as surprised as I was that if he was that unsure that he would take her to go meet his family?
That is also, that's, yeah, I didn't like that, basically. Like,
unless he thought that was going to be whatever it would take to put him over the top. Like,
right,
but, like, but then, well, but then are you going to bring her? Are you going to bring her back to your family? Like, hey, remember me from a couple of weeks ago? The whole thing, once that happened, felt this isn't going to work.
Think about Hannah B. She's already said that she loves him. Now she's getting introduced to the family. She must all of a sudden feel like she's the front runner,
right?
And then just to be told that, hey, I'm actually not there. Maybe on his side, it was let's bring her home, and I'll have clarity there. But that's just something you don't do unless you're 100% sure. Do not bring someone home to meet your family in a situation like this. That was a little rough for me. I didn't love that.
I remember, I think it was last season on The Bachelorette for Becca season, and I think Jason, who is now dating, oh God, what's her name? She was The Bachelorette from a couple years ago. Anyway, Becca brought Jason to meet, like, they went to his hometown.
Oh, his friends.
Remember they met his friends at the bar? And yeah. That, to me, was a pretty stunning move, because I thought that was sort of an implication that he was in the lead, but then sure enough, he ended up getting sent home too. So is there this new sort of underlying theme that we could watch out for future episodes, that anytime family or friends gets brought into the conversation before the hometowns, maybe it's a sign of bad things to come? Like, if you were live betting the show, then you know, all right, this person's going home. I can get really good odds here.
Yeah, because they saw the family way too early. It's almost like if, like, a recruit was brought to, like, their dream college, and they're there, and they're seeing all the facilities, and they're like, man, I'm going to play in front of this crowd and everything. But then they don't realize that the person recruiting them is really only bringing them there because they're trying to get to their best friend. And they're like, I really just want the other guy on the football team. So if I can, like, get this guy here, maybe he'll bring his best friend wide receiver, who's, like, the number one stud that I really want, with him. And then we can try to get that guy. And then just being told, hey, we don't have a scholarship offer for you. See ya. Like, right. it's a little rough.
It's
to
like
be
the
put
third
in that
Porter
situation.
Brother.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way. But, I'm sure he had his reasons.
One final thought, and we can keep this quick and painless, because Heather certainly did that. That was about the shortest and most agreeable elimination of all time.
They were like, let's just be friends. This is cool. I'm going to hug you. And you know what? I'll give you one last kiss. That's fine. Nothing matters.
Right.
Bye. I'll talk to you later.
You get your second kiss of your entire life, and you go home. You got something fun to write about.
Yeah, I really feel like they both were in agreement. So, like, you know, it's been fun having you. It's not really working, but we'll be friends.
She's cool. A shoo-in for paradise, right, Heather?
I guess, just because it'll be entertaining to see how that would go down.
You have a storyline to follow the entirety of the show. Like, you have never been kissed, to been kissed once by one person, to weird, crazy stuff happens in paradise. Like,
yeah.
I hate to put it in these terms, but it'll be like, you know, what's Heather's batting average, and what sort of hits does she get along the way in paradise?
No, that's a good point.
I hate to throw that on her, but they're doing it to Colton, so like, you know, it's kind of equal fair game here.
Yeah, totally. No, I can see that. That's a really good call.
Anything else from the episode that you took away that we might have missed out on? That overall, like the drama was really good, and especially coming back to the States, I just didn't think a lot of us expected it. But
no, I thought the drama was good. I guess the only other note I had was that overall it was like great drama, but kind of boring episode. That's not like we really saw him progress with anyone.
Yeah, the dates kind of sucked, didn't they?
The dates were a little boring, and I don't think Hannah G said a word, even though she was on this like group date and she didn't really have to. And it was just kind of, I don't know. It was like that one obviously big thing that they were going on as far as girls not being there for the right reasons. And otherwise, there was just really nothing to show.
With that being said, let's get to our MVP and our bench warmers for week number 7 of the show. Let's start at the top. Let's start with the MVP. Who's it going to be for you this week?
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
My MVP this week gets off the bench from last week. I was just joking about the way she kisses, probably because I was trying to bring her down because she's a freaking superstar. And in life, when someone is a 10 or they're too successful, we try to bring them down because we're uncomfortable with ourselves. And I'm just at the point now where Hannah G is my MVP because you can book it, man. She's going to win the show. Like, it's over. She doesn't have to do anything. She sits there and breathes and she gets a rose. Like, it's done, man. She's the only one that hasn't been talked about as far as any of this drama. She sits there, she smiles, she nods, she's like, I got this, and I'll go to my grave. I would put my savings on it right now. I don't care what the odds are. She's gonna win the show, and for that reason she's my MVP, because this week showed it more than ever that she's never involved with the drama and he really likes her and she likes him. It's just the right thing to do.
So I get the pick, I understand the decision, and yes, I'm with you. I think she's a clear front runner to win the show, and even though she hasn't gotten a lot of screen time, and even though she hasn't been on camera, and you haven't really seen the way in which their relationship has progressed, it's abundantly clear that he is completely falling and very into her. Like, there's nothing to discuss here. So I don't know if I can give her an MVP for doing nothing other than the fact that she's, you know, she's a bench warmer, but you know that you have to play her. You know, it's like sitting the wrong stud in your fantasy team. It's like, oh man, I can't believe I didn't play her. Well, you know, they didn't play, but they still found a way to get into the end zone. Like, that's Hannah G.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Like, it's not like she's doing anything miraculous. You're like, wow, Hannah G's amazing for X or Y or Z.
Doubles off the wall every time.
She just does it. She just, that's, for me, she's like a Tim Duncan out there. That's why she's my MVP. And she doesn't do anything flashy. She just gets it done and she wins rings.
Yeah, it's a very attractive Tim Duncan. My MVP is actually the other Hannah. I'm going to give it to Hannah B this week. My sports analogy is that she was kind of like, I don't know if you watched the NBA All-Star game from Sunday, which turned out to be a profitable night for me, but that's beside the point. She was kind of like Giannis Antetokounmpo in the All-Star game. Like, that team was doubted from the very beginning. I was on my buddy Carrington Harrison's Shoot for Ball podcast, and they were just trashing Team Giannis. They were going to get run out of the gym. They had no chance, and he came in focused. And so even though he was doubted from the beginning, he was the lead for MVP throughout most of that game. They got off to a big lead, almost by 20 points at halftime. And then eventually, you know, the better players ended up coming back. And so that was the situation for Hannah B. She wasn't the best player in this game, but she fought her ass through that whole situation. But there was just better players around her that came back to win. She finished about as strong as you possibly could in her situation. She did everything right. And unfortunately, the cards just didn't work out for her. But regardless, I have to give her credit, at least for the effort. It was there. She hustled. She played defense. She was on both sides of the floor. So Hannah B, my MVP for episode number 7. Let's go to the bench. Who are you going with this week?
I can't even.
Can't even what?
Even. Like, I just can't even.
Oh, like you literally can't even.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I struggled with this because I really didn't think there was any performance that was overly poor. I didn't really want to put anyone on the bench because I liked what I saw out of a lot of the girls this week, but it kind of hit me. I'm putting people on the bench that get on this show to further themselves in fame elsewhere. Okay, so the whole idea has come up about, you know, Kaylin or Cassie or someone like just being there because of the show. And I liken it to, you know, the NBA, where teams tank to get that number one pick. In this world, girls intentionally tank to not win so they can be the bachelorette or whatever. And it's gotten to the point where it's like, oh, wait, JoJo Fletcher got second. She should have won. That was a clear pick. Ben's an idiot. But then she was a bachelorette, and now she's super famous, and she got even a more super famous fiance out of it, and she's worth so much money. Let me take this as far as I can and then lose so I can be even more famous. So I'm putting those people on the bench because I get where you're thinking, and I think it might be smart for yourself financially, but I think it's super selfish, and it's just not the way the show's intended. So for that reason, if Kaylin or Cassie or anyone else is that person, they can grab some bench because that's lame.
So you're saying Cassie or Kaylin have a chance to be Ja Morant. Really good, yes. Point guard, possibly the next Russell Westbrook, but you know, they're the bachelorette. That's the next Zion Williamson. That's the 6'8", 280-pound guy that can run like a gazelle and have a 45-inch vertical. You're saying they're setting themselves up for future success as opposed to happiness now.
I know that's a reality of this, and it's just TV, and people can do what they want, but it just rubs me the wrong way that if that's, you know, people are that way. And I'm also, this breaking news, I have a new bench warmer. I have another one. For having all of these young, lower 20s people. Like, let's get some more maturity in there. Like, when they're saying a 28-year-old running around the house, running her mouth, like, that's old, talking about Tayshia. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what Kaylin said. It's like, look, I'm 28. I don't feel that old. I really think I probably just figured out what I wanted in my life and was mature enough to make decisions and ask Lindsay to marry me like a year and a half ago.
Right.
So I think there's a certain point where maybe this show should consider finding more 25-year-olds and above, because I'm putting these young 21, 22-year-olds on the bench because they really don't know what they want at this point.
You know what? I think that's a really interesting call. And one other note, to go back with your analogy of Kaylin and Cassie from tanking, to me, it's kind of like the Anthony Davis situation. Like, they're sitting out with an injury that's really not an injury, you know? Hint, hint.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah, I mean,
they got a groin thing. They got an elbow issue.
Well, and won't this be great if this all ends and Hannah G wins, which she will, and then Cassie becomes the bachelorette, and then all these girls that everyone's ripping on for like telling Colton about this would end up being right? I don't know.
I'll say this though, and I'll get to my bench warmer in a second, because I know at some point the music will probably run out. Thinking like a producer. I would bet that if it were up to the people at The Bachelor, if it comes down to Cassie or it comes down to Hannah G, you know who they would want to be the bachelorette, right? It would be, yes, Hannah G, hands down. They, yes, know what her reach is already. They know the popularity would skyrocket. They know that they have guys lining up around the block. And that's not to say that they wouldn't line up for Cassie either. I think Cassie's a really fun character. She's obviously very attractive.
I mean,
Hannah
G is a supermodel. She's like...
She would slay as, yeah, the next bachelorette. And I... Like, as much as we want to go with that shoo-in that she's got it in the bag, I wouldn't put it past to think that maybe she could be working that angle too.
No, that's true. I mean, if you look at the final four, if let's say Hannah G wins, I mean, they might go elsewhere for a new bachelorette. I don't know if the other three are really that capable of carrying a show.
I think that's true. Yeah, but maybe that's another prop bet for next week's episode. Regardless, my bench warmer ended up getting sent home, so I don't know if I want to pile on too much, but man, even though Kerpa was an MVP candidate and saved herself from elimination last week, the one thing that I took away from all this is that, yeah, maybe she was trying to tell the truth and tell Colton how she felt and keep it 100, but the reality felt like, man, she was kind of just a natural follower. Like, it was Tayshia that sort of set everything in motion, and that Tayshia had cleared it with Kerpa, and then Kerpa's like, yeah, you know what, I agree with you, and she basically just did the same thing that Tayshia did. I don't feel like the accountability was there on her own. And she said, well, you know, if he asks me about it, then I'll bring it up. And no, she just followed, man. There was no leadership there. Like, if you're not leading, you know, you're just following behind. And to me, I put her on the bench for that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just felt like it seemed to me that Kerpa and Colton kind of knew she wasn't going to win or wasn't going to get a rose.
I'm stunned that she lasted this long.
Yeah, she was kind of just there to be part of the game. Yeah. I just nothing felt genuine about the relationship.
So there you go. Those are our MVPs and our bench warmers for episode number 7. It is now time for our film session. This is the part of the show where we take a look at something that you might have missed, something from the show that stood out a little bit to us, that maybe didn't necessarily resonate with you right away. So Andrew, what is your film session for this week?
I don't know how you could miss this, but I'm going to point it out because I haven't in the last couple of weeks, and it should be pointed out. Colton says get after it or getting after it a lot. I mean, like, a lot. If you listen for it, every time he's joking with someone, he's always saying, oh yeah, are you going to get after it or getting after it? And I'm just like, that's the most ironic thing because we all know he's never got after anything before. But it's just a crutch word for him. And we, you know, I was in television, so I get it. I would say certain words, and I'm sure you do too with all your podcasts. We all have crutch words, but for him, it's get after it or getting after it. So just listen for that in upcoming episodes.
Stood out to me as one for me.
That's a good one.
What stood out to you when you were evaluating this performer? What stood out when you were, you know, looking for that final shot? That happened in post games a lot, and it always frustrated me. I still do it. Here's a prop bet for you. You know how a lot of the times they'll go and they'll make fun of the character for things that they always repeat? Do you think in an After the Final Rose or at the Women Tell All that there will be a mashup of all the times that Colton has said get after it or getting after it? If I give you the odds of yes, there will be at plus 400, so 4-1, or no, at 1-3, where do you think you'd go?
I would probably go yes, because I think it's the only thing they could go after. He doesn't have a lot of them. I think that's the one that he does have. So if they decided to do the segment, that would be where they would get their most content.
Yes.
So I would take that bet.
I think so, too. I think you and I both thought that it would be the sports cliches, but he's kind of moved away from that other than get after it or getting after it. So solid film session and good notice on tape for you. Have you noticed that all throughout this season, Kirpa is carrying something around with her? It's like this little pink book. What the hell's in that book? Is it like the burn book from Mean Girls? Like, is she writing down their experiences? Is it like a shared diary? Is she going to reveal what's in this pink book? I'm dying to know, even though I wasn't necessarily fond of Kirpa's character. Kind of want to know what's in the book.
Yeah, and I noticed Colton stood up and was holding the book. Mm-hmm. When they stopped talking off the couch one time, it was like, let me take that for you. Don't worry. It's like he was like wondering too. He's like, I kind of want to take a peek inside this book.
Yeah.
Maybe she's writing down all the secrets of the house. Yeah. Did we miss it? Did she explain that at some point that she has a diary? Or I don't know.
I think so. I just know that was something that I noticed throughout this episode, that this pink book was trailing Kirpa wherever she went. And I hope it's a burn book. I hope that's the insides of this book get revealed and it's fascinating, just stuff that could burn the whole house.
She could make so much money. Yeah, she should sell
that. So much money. The other thing that I noticed is that two-on-one moment with Cassie and Kirpa, there's a very distinct sound in television, and that is the clock going into each commercial break in 24 and the stopwatch sound from 60 Minutes, which is, I think, the only television show without theme music. It's just the... You had a combination of those two sounds with no music, and there's a lot of music in the show, the moment that Cassie and Kirpa were staring each other down, and that was, like, haunting. And once the music took out and it was just this countdown clock, that was a good dramatic moment for me. I felt that.
That was great. I was uncomfortable.
There you go. All right. I'm glad that you felt it as well. So now it's time for the show where we get into our prop bets. This is one of the fan favorites. And again, if you have a prop bet that you would like to submit for You Play to Win the Rose, make sure you guys tweet it at us, at @Andrew_Carter and at Benny Heiss. Really quickly looking at last week's props that went through this week. Once again, the cries hit the over. We set the bar at 3.5. We might have to just keep raising that, but there's just not as many contestants anymore. So I think 3.5, you probably have to stick it through there if that's how you're going to go. The over hit there, we talked about this briefly, that Tayshia was the clear-cut favorite to become the next villain. Again, it depends on how you interpret villain, but I, as the odds maker for this one, went ahead and cashed the favorite here at minus 250. And will another contestant... leave Colton on her own. That is yet to be determined, although we still think that yes at plus 450 and no at minus 675. I think that still holds true. So now we have new props for this week. Let's start with an over-under that you came up with.
Yeah, this is simple. We just talked about it. How many times will Colton say get after it or getting after it next week? Now, I would have set the over-under higher than I did, but I set it pretty low, Heist, because I don't think he's going to say that to girl's parents. I don't think it's going to be a thing that gets said in front of a lot of family members. So there's going to be fewer moments where he's just like hanging out. It's more of his flirtation crutch word. But if he has a moment where he can flirt and maybe he's feeling awkward at a hometown, he takes a girl away, there's a good chance we're going to hear it. So I'm really just setting the over under at 0.5. So basically you're betting on if he will say it once throughout the entire show next week or not. And so I ask you, Heist, what do you think? Over under 0.5 times he says get after it or getting after it.
All right, so here's my take on this. You ready? I think it will come in an unexpected context. I think he'll be talking to Tayshia post meeting her dad. Remember, they were talking about how her dad is the one that's probably going to give him a really hard time. And so
You're totally right.
And so I think, you know, they're going to be talking about it. And he said, yeah, you know, like he really got after it with me. Yes. He really gave it to me. And I think that's where the over is going to hit. So it may only happen once, but that's going to be the context in which it happens.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. I'm totally with you. Over all day. All right.
Here's another one. This is the one that's fascinating to me, and I think there's some really intriguing odds here. Will a father reject Colton's potential proposal? He mentioned on the show that he's going to ask all these different women if he feels that the relationship is going to continue. Would he have their blessing if he asked them to marry them? So I set yes at plus 150, meaning you would win $150 on a 100 bet, because I don't think that's likely to happen, and no at minus 175. They hint that it could come close, but more often than not, the fathers say, you know, they hinted in a lot of the teasers, like, I don't know if I can, you know, say yes if you're still with other women. But ultimately, they usually come around. Do you think a father will reject Colton's potential proposal?
I do not. I think you're spot on. I think they showed a lot of tough moments, but they were really just like that first question where a dad tries to be tough, and then you actually watch the hometown, and the dad was overall pretty chill and cool. I think that's going to happen a lot. And I don't see a lot of drama from these hometowns. So I don't think a father's going to reject him.
I don't think so either, but again, we're still waiting for that moment where Colton climbs over the fence and is ready to quit. And, you know, we thought it might happen this week. We're not sure if it's going to happen for hometowns, because eventually they'll have to come back. And clearly somebody's going to backstab somebody else. We just don't know who it's going to be from. My guess is it still could be from Tayshia. She's the one that sort of got the ball rolling this week. Perhaps it happens again. Perhaps it still involves Kaylin. Those are the two that I could see having this fight that leads him over the edge, but that is yet to be determined. Final prop, and I think we kind of have to go with this one the rest of the way, is who's going to be the next contestant eliminated? I think the favorite here for the next person to be eliminated is going to be Tayshia. I set it at minus 125, followed by Cassie, who made it all the way to the end of the episode, beating out Kirpa. I have her at plus 150. Then Kaylin at plus 200, and our clear-cut favorite in Hannah G at plus 400. Even though there's good value on the board with Hannah G, I just don't see it happening. I think she's for sure a walk-in to the championship game here. But who's the next contestant that's going home?
I think this is great value. I think that I'm going to be right about this, only because I've been very strong in my feelings for the last, I don't know, ever since our Final Four picks, and I actually started watching the show. I've really felt like Cassie and Hannah G will be the final two. I felt like Tayshia would be the third. I think Tayshia's great, but ultimately he's got a thing for the blondes, and they're going to be the final two. I think Kaylin is the next one to go home. I think there's just something about her. We saw Hannah B go. They've been connected a lot in the show, and going back-to-back outskis exits, I can see it happening. And yeah, just from the sheer fact that I really do like Tayshia, and I think she's going to go far, I think Kaylin's the weakest of those four, so I'm going to pick her going home.
It's a really good call. To me, it was between Tayshia and Kaylin, so I like the value that's on the board with Kaylin, but I feel like his family visit's going to go really well. I feel like they sort of share a lot in common, and I do worry about the tone in which Tayshia's family could set with Colton. I think that could potentially bother him moving forward. I don't know whether it's going to cause that severe drama at the end that they've been teasing for the last several weeks, but I think Tayshia will get sent home this week, and I think a lot of it has to do because he seems to really buy into what Kaylin is saying. Think about what kept Cassie alive was Kaylin. And so I think also Kaylin, Cassie, and Hannah G are slightly further along in their relationship than he is with Tayshia. And they've gone pretty far, but I think those three have moved and progressed the furthest.
I only disagree with you because he took Tayshia on another one-on-one. She was in the jersey. They were making out on the bed. He really trusts her.
She did get the jersey treatment. That's a fair call. Yeah, that's a fair call.
I think you and I are in agreement. It's one of those two. It'll just be interesting to see what happens.
Right. So again, if I had to bet it, then I'm probably taking the better odds with Kaylin as well. But I'm more likely to think that it's going to be Tayshia.
Fair.
I just don't know if I want to lay the extra 25 for the juice there. So with that being said, that's another episode of You Play to Win the Rose. Thank you guys for watching. Please do share with your friends. We post little screen grabs on Twitter and on Instagram each and every week when the episode is on. Hopefully some more contestants from the show, both in present and past seasons, will join us in a little bit. But for Andrew, I'm Ben. Thank you guys for listening, for viewing, and please do rate and review the podcast over on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download this show. So for Andrew, I'm Ben. We'll talk to you guys next week. Final four, baby. Let's do this. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Take a piece of tinsel and put it on the tree. Car